Well, Luke 23, I hope you found it tonight. I did my best to give you all the time I could for you to find it. And this evening, we're only going to read one verse, but when you hear it, you'll notice that it's some familiar words from the cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they pardoned his raiment and cast lots." You know, if you've lived any length of time, you know this, that last words carry great importance, don't they? Several years ago, I had an uncle. His real name was Louis, but everybody called him Pee-wee. He was a junior. And that was his nickname, Pee-wee. He was a short man. And my Uncle Pee-wee, I have many fond memories of him. As a matter of fact, he holds a special place in my heart. The night that my dad died when I was a 15-year-old boy, it was Pee-wee that came over to my house and comforted me and my mom and took us into his home out of that house that night to get us away. I'll always be indebted to him for his kindness. And anyway, my aunt had called me a few weeks prior to this event that I'm relating to you, and she said, "Alton, I hope that you'll pray for your Uncle Pee-wee. He was just diagnosed with liver cancer." She said, "We don't know the extent of it. Here in just a few weeks, he's going to go to the doctor. They're going to do a PET scan. They're supposed to tell us what all is happening with him." But she said, "I really would like for you to come up and visit your uncle." I said, "Aunt June, I'd be glad to do it." And I looked at my schedule and noticed just a few weeks away I had an opening, and I said, "On such and such a Sunday afternoon, I'm going to stop by the house." That Sunday came, I drove up. I entered the door of the house. I met my aunt and hugged her, and she warned me that I was about to see something that would startle me, and startle me it did. I walked into the living room, and I saw my uncle. He looked very gaunt in his face. His gaze was dead ahead, and he was hardly responsive to anything you said to him. I remember seeing him. He was a shell of the person that I had remembered him to be. The cancer was ravaging his body. His soul was discouraged. And so I sat down on the couch, and I tried to talk to my uncle and tried to make small talk to no avail. He just simply was looking ahead. So after a little while, I just decided to be quiet, and we just all sit there in silence. And about that time, my uncle broke his gaze from the wall ahead, and he looked at me, and first words out of his mouth as he said, "Alton, I want you to preach my funeral." Now, I'll just be honest with you, just preach your inside talk here, but that's an awkward thing to hear as a preacher. In one sense, you're humbled to preach somebody's funeral, but you're not looking to do it anytime soon. You know what I mean? I looked at him and I said, "Well, Uncle Pee-wee," I said, "if you live another 50 years, it won't hurt my feelings. I'll be glad to do it, but you don't have to focus on that right now." Now, I'll tell you, at that moment, my heart was a little bit comforted, and I'll tell you why, because it was a couple of years prior that my Uncle Pee-wee called me into the kitchen during a Christmas gathering, and he looked at me and he said, "Alton," he knew I was a preacher, he said, "I want you to know," he said, "I've made things right with God." He said, I'm on my way to heaven. I learned later that a prairie preacher had led him to Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. My uncle, who'd lived a hard life of drinking, he turned to Christ in his latter days. So anyway, back to the story. I'm talking to my Uncle Pee-wee, and after that day came, I had little idea that that'd be the last time that I'd ever see him. It was a couple of weeks later that my cousin, who's really a man's man, I've never seen my cousin cry in my life until this day. As I answered the phone, I heard my cousin weeping, and all I could hear was two words. He said, "He's gone." I told Brack, that's his name, I said, "Listen," I said, "I'll make it a point to get up there right away." And I got up there and I talked with my cousin and I asked him, I said, "Well, tell me what happened." He said, "Alton, you'll never believe this." He said, "For several days, my dad had just been in a quiet state, had hardly said anything. And this morning, my dad woke up and he called all of us into the room as family. And with a great clarity of mind, he spoke to us for 30 minutes. He said he looked every one of us in the eye. He looked at my mom and told her how much he loved her and how he was so glad that they'd been married all these years. He looked at my sister. He looked at myself. He even looked at my fiance. Brack was going to get married in 2 weeks. My uncle looked at her and he said, "You know what, Tracy? I'm so sorry that I'm not going to be at your wedding." And he said, "I'm so glad that you've been brought into Brack's life." And Brack said, once he said his piece, it was about 15, 20 minutes later, he passed on into eternity. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those are words that that family will never forget. You know why? Because they were dying words. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand tonight when I read to you one verse in Luke 23 where Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you know what those were tonight? Those were dying words that you ought never forget. And I want to tell you why tonight. You see, Jesus, as He was hanging on the cross after suffering injustice like mankind has never seen, instead of being fueled by rage and anger and hatred, Jesus Christ looks on the multitude and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's at that moment on the cross we're reminded that God is a God that can offer forgiveness. And we're also reminded that those who are the children of God here tonight, if you want to be like Jesus, you've got to be willing to forgive too. It's impossible for you to be like Jesus if you're not willing to forgive. And so this evening I'd like to begin. I want us to see, first of all, what happened to Jesus before He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I think when you understand that, it will help you to realize just how powerful those words really were. I mean, just think about it for a moment. Do you know what all happened to Jesus before He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? You see, Jesus experienced the disloyalty of His disciples. Jesus had poured His life into 12 men. I mean, had given them His all in teaching them and helping them, and they were along His side all during that time, and those very 12 people are the ones that forsook Him when He hung on the cross. The Bible tells us that there was one in particular that forsook Him, his name Judas Iscariot. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 47, "And while He yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss Him." You know, it's one thing to betray a man, but it's another thing to do it with a kiss that is typically a sign of affection. It's one thing for somebody to put a knife in your back, but it's another thing for them to do it with a smile on their face or seemingly offering you affection when in reality they're betraying you to be murdered. Jesus experienced that. Jesus not only experienced the disloyalty of Judas, but all of the disciples in Mark chapter 14 and verse 50, when Jesus is delivered up, they flee, they run. Listen to me, if you were being attacked, you would hope that at least your family members would fend for you. But at that very moment, all the disciples ran and left Jesus. And then there was one particular betrayal. Do you remember? His name, Peter. Some of you are like Peter in this room. You're very quick to put your foot in your mouth. Peter was one of those kinds. He would speak sometimes before he thought. And Peter came to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I'll never leave you. I will never betray you." But Jesus said, "Oh, yes, you will." And there came a point as Peter is warming his hands by the fire, that a maid comes to him and says, "Hey, you're one of them." And he denied it. And after a little while, they come to him and they say, "Oh, thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. You're one with Jesus." And the Bible says in Mark 14, verse 71, "But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak." You know what? Jesus knew what it was like to be hurt by people. He knew what it was like to be betrayed. Jesus not only experienced the disloyalty of His disciples, He experienced the hatred of the religious leaders. Boy, you want to talk about a sham court? Here they deliver Jesus up to the authorities and they have to beg men to lie on Him. The religious leaders, what are they saying? They're saying, "We have no king but Caesar." When Pilate says, "Shall we crucify your king?" they scream back, "We have no king but Caesar." And they joined the chorus, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He came into His own and His own received Him not. He experienced the disloyalty of the disciples. He experienced the hatred of the religious leaders, and He experienced the brutality of the Romans. Before Jesus uttered, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," do you know what those Roman soldiers did to Him? The Bible tells us that they plucked out His beard. The Bible tells us that they blindfolded Him and they played a little game. They blindfolded Him, took their open hand, and as they smote Him in the face, they said with a snarl, "Prophesy unto us." Who smote thou? Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ could have emptied heaven and killed every last one of them? He could have called legions of angels and destroyed the very people that were about to kill Him, but He didn't. You know why? This will blow your mind tonight. Jesus stayed on that cross to die for you and to die for me that we might be born again. Amen. And it's after all that that Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to ask you tonight, if you're here this evening and you're a Christian, and in your heart you've found it a little bit hard to forgive some people in life, I want to ask you, what's been done to you? You ever had somebody be disloyal to you? I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm telling you, there's some families that are torn apart because of disloyalty, and there's hatred that rages in people's veins. You ever had somebody that maybe they've not done right by you? Maybe somebody's been unfaithful. Maybe somebody has been unfair. Maybe somebody's been talking behind your back. They've been saying unkind words. Maybe they assume your motives, or maybe they spread rumors about you. And every time that individual comes to your mind, hatred begins to boil in your heart. Listen to me. You need to be reminded of the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, Jesus, after experiencing all of that, He hung on the cross, and with pure tenderness He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You say, "Preacher, some pretty bad things have happened to me." Maybe so, but don't you see what Jesus experienced tonight? So we have to take a look at what happened to Jesus before He even uttered the words. But I want to continue tonight, and I want to ask you the question, when did Jesus choose to offer that cry of forgiveness? Well, it's summed up in one word in the verse when it says, "Then," I mean shortly after all of those acts are completed, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know the lesson to be learned in that? I'll tell you, here's the lesson. There are some people that will go throughout the majority of their lives bitter and upset at everyone else and quick to call out their faults, and they'll live a miserable life. You know what? God doesn't want you to forgive as a Christian 30 years down the road. He wants you to forgive as soon as you can after that offense is given. You know, I've talked to people in services where they have literally been shaking. You say, "You're exaggerating." No, I'm not. When they talked about how much bitterness and a hatefulness in their hearts had gripped them and made their lives miserable and they needed to let it go, I've watched it eat people alive. And you say, "Well, that happened to me 5 years ago." Listen, "Then said Jesus." You say, "That happened to me 20 years ago. Then said Jesus." Listen, the sooner you offer forgiveness, the better off you'll be. You know, the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Listen to me, if you want trouble tonight, listen, you want high blood pressure? Ladies, do you want to look older than you really are? Now, we have people, they go to plastic surgeons, they get Botox injections, they get plastic surgery. Why? They want to look younger. Have you ever heard of anybody wanting to look a lot older? Well, I'll tell you how it can happen. Just be a bitter old cuss. You want to make your health just crumble? Just be bitter and angry. It'll trouble you, I promise. Then said Jesus, and boy, here is a beautiful word in the English language. Here it is, listen. Father, forgive them. Now I want to stop for a moment and I want to talk to you about forgiveness. Did you know that every person on the face of God's earth needs forgiveness? Do you know that? You say, I don't need forgiveness. Well, you're either perfect or you're a liar. And I can already tell you which one it is. You say, preacher, you're awful judgmental. No, I'm just saying God put it this way, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's you, brother. That's me. And that's why every person is in need of God's forgiveness, but not every person has sought it. Did you know that tonight God is willing to forgive those that come to Him in saving faith? Do you realize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid the penalty for your sin and mine? We sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, preacher, I've done some very bad things. You very well may. But I'm just telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's the Bible tonight. But I'm stunned when I think that God has offered His forgiveness to people in this world in Wilmington, Delaware, and there are some people that yet push it away. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. My friend, I want to ask you tonight, has there ever been a time in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you accepted that forgiveness that was offered to you? You remember that day that you were forgiven? I'll tell you, for me, I remember when it was very clearly. It was when I was a 12-year-old boy. You say, where did it happen? It didn't happen in church. It happened at home. You say, I don't think that can happen. Listen to me. When the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm here to tell you, I don't care whether it's Wilmington, Delaware, Lattimore, North Carolina, if it's in your house or a vehicle on the road, if you do what God says, then you've been saved by the grace of God and He's forgiven you. I was raised very nominally in church, but for 2 years I heard the gospel preached. And I'll tell you what, that day when I called on the Lord to save me, I'll never forget it. I got up off the bed and I didn't know a whole lot. If you'd have said, now you're my brother in Christ, I'd have looked at you like, okay. If you'd have said, now you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I would have looked at you and said, oh, okay. I really didn't know a whole lot about that, but I'll tell you what I did know. I knew when I got up off that bed that my sins had been forgiven. And you know what? I believe some people have a hard time forgiving others because they've never tasted of God's forgiveness. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what God's saying? If you're here tonight and you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ, you ought to forgive like you've been forgiven. Now folks, let's be honest. Sometimes it's a lot easier to talk about forgiveness than to do it. You know the kind of people that come to church and sit in buildings like this? are real people that are sometimes hurt and crushed. There's not a single one of you that has a super Christian emblem on your chest. I'm telling you, it's people that sometimes go through awful things in life and they sit down in chairs just like this. And you say, boy, I've had some things happen to me, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm really not willing to forgive. You say, I just don't think that I ought to do it. I mean, I just feel a lot better when I just vent up and just want to hurt them and just talk about it. I want to ask you, if you're here tonight and you've got ought in your heart towards a family member, towards a brother in Christ or somebody else, and you're a child of God, I want to ask you a question tonight. Why are you choosing to keep that? You know, there are some people, this is what they say. They'll look at me and they'll say, you know what, you don't understand how bad they wronged me. You don't understand the hurt that it caused me. And you know, sometimes we preachers, we get to talking to people in congregations, and boy, every once in a while you guys can get a little sharp. You know, you've been hurt, you've been wounded, and you look with fire in your eyes and you say, I'm going to tell you what, you've never been through what I've been through, buddy. What am I supposed to say on that? Am I supposed to put my hands on my hips and say, you just be quiet? No. You know what I do when I hear that from somebody? I sometimes can just look at them and say, you know what? You probably are right. You've lived a lot longer than I have in various backgrounds. And the truth be told, there's probably things that have happened to you worse than ever happened to me. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like my life's been worse than yours. But you know what else I say? When's the last time somebody nailed you to a cross? Hey, has anybody ever taken a crown of thorns and placed it upon your head? When's the last time you were hanging on a cross naked? Let me tell you something tonight. All of the artistic depictions of Calvary are very sanitized compared to what it really was. I'm telling you, Jesus was not modestly clothed on a cross and was probably not clothed at all. And He was beaten beyond recognition, not only as what person is that, but beyond the fact of is that a person or is that just a blob of flesh because His body was so emaciated. When's the last time you hung on a cross and your mother stood at the foot of it and wept until there were no more tears because her son was being brutally murdered? You say, why do you say that? I'm going to tell you why tonight. And I say it very carefully, not to minimize your hurt, not to minimize your pain, but I think we should all, if we're honest, agree on this one thing, that we have never had anything done to us like what we did to Jesus. You say, you're making little of my hurt? No, I'm just telling you, there's somebody who's walked through a deeper valley than you did, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and that's what He expects us to do. Sometimes people say, well, I'll tell you why I don't forgive. I'll tell you why, because they're just going to do it again. I'm not going to forgive that person because they're just going to hurt me again. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a respectable opinion. I mean, on the surface, we're like, well, yeah, I mean, that'd be dumb just to forgive them if they're going to do it again. That would be crazy. Well, let me tell you, don't go by what sounds right. You better go by what is right. And sometimes there's a difference. Because do you know that Jesus directly addresses that question? In Mark chapter 18, Peter comes to Jesus. Now listen to what Peter says to Jesus. He says, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Peter and say, Peter, I'd like to see a replay of when you talk to the Lord. Because I think if I had gone to Jesus, this is how I would have said it. I'd have said, now Lord, if somebody hurts me, why, how many times should I forgive them? I mean, seven times, as if that's a lot. You know how Jesus responded to Peter? He said, I say not unto you until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. You mathematicians, 490 times. Some of you keeping notes tonight, you're like, yeah, he's on 4:30 and it's not too much longer and it's over with. Listen to me, that's not what Jesus... Jesus wasn't stressing 490 is exact number. I'll tell you what he was stressing. He was stressing that Christians ought to repeatedly forgive. Now, repeatedly forgiving does not mean that you subject yourself to dangerous circumstances over and over again. You know, I'm telling you, in the abusive society that we live in, there's some people, maybe there's some very abusive things that are happening. And forgiveness, listen, that's not necessarily going right back into that same situation and having your life threatened and almost beaten out of you. That's not what it's saying. But you know what? You don't have to sit somewhere else and stew with such a hatred in your heart that you live in bondage to that individual because you choose not to forgive. And so I want to ask you tonight, are there individuals in this room, you say, listen, I know I'm saved, but you know that in your heart tonight, there's some very hard feelings towards another person. Listen to me, you can't be like Jesus unless you're willing to say, Father, forgive them. You know how I can tell when I have something against another person? When I desire ill upon them. Listen, any Christian to say they could die for all I care, you know what? They may think they're venting their soul, but they're speaking their foolishness. I remember there was a time when I was a kid, I remember my dad did something, and I remember writing down words that I wish that I could have erased. I wrote down the words, I hate Dad. I wish I could have gone back and just erased those out of the memory. When you wish the ill will upon another person, you have a revengeful spirit. When you return evil for evil, when you desire to injure somebody and it gratifies you, listen, my friend, there's somebody besides that person that has a great problem, and that's you. And if you want to be like Jesus, you've got to be willing to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now let me back up for just a moment. Let me repeat myself. Listen, if you're going to extend forgiveness to other people, you better make sure that you've been forgiven. And that doesn't happen by being in any particular denomination. Listen, I'm going to tell you, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be all Baptists. But I tell you who it will be. It'll be everybody that listened to Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that. I didn't. There is no name given under men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus is the only one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me, that's not a denominational creed, that's the Bible. Amen. And there'll not be a person in heaven who ignores those verses. But you're here tonight, listen to me, if you've never experienced God's forgiveness, He's willing to offer it to all. You're here tonight, you say, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. I may not understand what you've done, but I'll tell you this, if God could save Saul of Tarsus, who was responsible for killing Christians of his day, then you mark it down, God can save you. But some people struggle offering forgiveness because they've never experienced God's forgiveness, and tonight, before you worry about anybody else, you better take care of your own soul. But you know, beyond that, for every Christian in this room, God wants you to forgive. Several years ago, I was in the country of Ukraine. It was the first time I'd really gone to like a foreign country. I've been in the Caribbean, they spoke English, but when I went to Ukraine, they didn't speak my language. You know, when I come to Delaware, you don't speak my language. But when I went to Ukraine, I'm telling you, I felt very helpless. I was exposed to an environment that just was quite different. Their food was different. I remember seeing the golden arches in a town And when I say Golden Arches, I'm talking about McDonald's. I'd worked at McDonald's for like 6 years, 2 years of high school, 4 years of college. I was burned out of McDonald's. But when I saw McDonald's in Ukraine, I said, I am going there to get a Big Mac. I mean, the food was very different, but the culture was so different. Down in the South, when we would pass by people, we would smile and look at them and raise our eyebrows, you know, with good Southern hospitality. Here you folks smile, but you do it different times. You smile when you cut somebody off the exit ramp. That's when you smile. And, you know, but I'm telling you, for us, you know, back home, it was just like every time you passed by somebody, you threw your hand up, you know, and what. Well, here we are in Ukraine. I'm walking down a path that's no wider than your aisle, and there's a woman. She's called a babushka, a grandmother with a scarf and the equivalent of work boots on and a skirt, and she's hobbling down through there. Well, man, I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I just looked at her and raised my eyebrows and grinned real big, and she looked a hole right through me. And after she passed by, I was like, wow, I've got to get used to this place. I remember we were in a service in Ukraine, and I'll never forget it. I preached that night, spoke through an interpreter. And at the conclusion of that service, there were three teenagers that came to trust Christ at the end of that service. And there they do things a little bit differently than here. At the end of that service, they had those teenagers stand up. And I watched those three teenagers. Now, I couldn't understand a word they were saying, but I'll tell you what I could understand. When I looked across that auditorium, and I saw people weeping and smiling, and they were giving testimony of their salvation, how that night they trusted Christ as their Savior. I'll never forget it. The pianist tore into "Ring the Bells of Heaven, There's Joy Today." I couldn't understand the words they were singing, but I knew the tune, and I could understand why they were all happy. But you know what? The strangest thing happened. As soon as everybody left the doors of that church and stepped out into the street, every smile disappeared. Every tear dried up, and their faces were emotionless. Man, that really bothered me. Here I am, the American. I'm like, why is that? Why is it I go out on the streets and these people are emotionless? I mean, we just saw three people trust Christ, and all of a sudden, it's like they've been their minds have been wiped. But you know, as I was flying home, I understood. Because at that point, in the time that I was in Ukraine, the vast majority of those people, for the majority of their lives, had lived in bondage. The bondage of communism. And that's the way they lived. That's the way they were taught. And old habits are hard to break. But I'm going to save you a ticket to Ukraine. You know, you don't have to fly there to see people living in bondage. You can see them in sometimes churches just like this. For some, they're unsaved and they're living in the bondage of their sins. There's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no peace in their hearts. And for others, they're saved by the grace of God, but every day they choose to live in the bondage of bitterness. When you leave this place tonight, I pray that there'll be one phrase that will haunt your mind. And it's when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And if you want to be like Jesus tonight, if you're a Christian, you need to forgive like Jesus did. Let's bow our heads together.